Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Yeah. America's secret war. Drones are now killing thousands a year in countries around the globe. But is the use of robots in warfare ethical? Or will drones become this century's equivalent of mustard gas, which was banned after its use during the First World War? Hello and welcome to The World This Week with me, Phil Rees. During 2010, the CIA's drone war in Pakistan killed as many as 1,000 people, maybe more. Drones or unmanned aerial vehicles also regularly attack suspected militants in Yemen and Somalia. But what rules apply to their use? And aren't these simply assassinations, which is illegal under US law? And what evidence does the CIA have that the victims are militants? Well, that's our first debate today. Later in the program, a large DIY chain pulls its advertising from an American reality soap opera. Why? Because the series is about average Muslim families. According to a right-wing Christian group, the program is attempting to manipulate Americans into ignoring the threat of jihad. Well, what's all that about? We'll find out in 25 minutes. Well, it seems that the mission of the Central Intelligence Agency has changed in recent years from gathering and analyzing intelligence to waging military campaigns through drone strikes. According to the Wall Street Journal, the CIA is now killing people without knowing exactly who they are, simply on suspicion of association with terrorist groups. The journal reports that the growth in people targeted by the CIA in Pakistan has forced the agency to tell its Pakistani counterparts when it expects to kill 20 or more people at once. Otherwise, apparently, it doesn't bother telling the Pakistan government. Well, despite evidence of hundreds of civilian deaths, few US civilian officials, have publicly criticized the campaign or its rapid expansion under President Barack Obama. The Pentagon now has some 7,000 aerial drones compared with fewer than 50 a decade ago. What's more, an explosion in aerial drones is transforming the way America fights and thinks about its wars. The US military is rapidly expanding the variety, size, and number of drones that it will have at its disposal. But what are the ethical dilemmas of waging robot wars? We'll be discussing these questions in a minute, but first, here's Haria Al-Haddad.
Using tanks, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, and the latest military technology, for decades the US has waged violent and often costly wars. But with the national debt soaring, the Pentagon is now under orders to cut hundreds of billions of dollars from its budget in the next decade. However, there is one item of military equipment that won't be cut. In fact, demand for this item is so high that manufacturers are struggling to keep up with orders. It is, of course, the unmanned spy and attack drones, commonly known as predator drones. Drones are used to gather intelligence in hostile areas and drop missiles on enemy targets. And they've been so successful that the Obama administration has plans to spend $4.8 billion on new drones next year. But there has been some fierce opposition to the drones elsewhere, particularly in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Some groups are asserting that the drones are causing high numbers of civilian casualties and threatens Pakistan's sovereignty.
अगर वो हमारे इस तरह हमले करेंगे, अगर वो एक भाई भी हमला करेंगे, हम पूरी कौम खड़ी होगी। हमारे हुक्मरानों को चाहिए हम अपनी पॉलिसीज रीस्टैब्लिश करें, रीमेंटेन करें और देखिए आइडेंटिफाई करें हमारे एनिमी कौन है, इसराइल और अमेरिका। हम अपनी पॉलिसीज रीस्टैब्लिश करें, रीमेंटेन करें और देखिए आइडेंटिफाई करें हमारे एनिमी कौन है।
Pakistani lawyers, journalists and rights activists took to the streets of Islamabad in a rally earlier this month. Protesters marched up to the heavily guarded diplomatic enclave to deliver a petition to the US embassy, calling on Washington to immediately withdraw its military forces from neighboring Afghanistan and stop intervention in Pakistan's domestic affairs. Pakistan has also sealed its Afghan border to NATO supply convoys and ordered US personnel to vacate an airbase reportedly used by CIA drones.
Thank you, Haria, for that report. Well, I'm pleased to be joined in the studio to discuss some of those issues by Asim Qureshi from Cage Prisoners. And next to him, we have from Hizbut Tahrir, Taji Mustafa. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. If I could start with you, Asim Qureshi. I mean, the Americans say basically these drones have been very successful. Clearly, we know about Osama bin Laden having been captured. It kind of works in their war on terror.
I don't think so. I mean, the reality is that we have enough evidence, enough statistical data to prove that the number of people that are dying from these drone strikes are completely disproportionate in terms of civilian casualties. So not only do they have a collateral damage effect where they might be targeting an individual they want, they might kill that person but will kill many others around him, but often they'll actually get the wrong person, complete the wrong person in the first place. And so what you've got is effectively, you know, all of the frustration that we've been talking about over the last 10 years of this war on terror in terms of people being feeling disenfranchised and feeling alienated because of poor counterterrorism policies being exacerbated to the nth degree by the fact that these drones are now just taking the lives of individuals without any kind of recourse to justice. So I very much dispute the assumption that they are successful, because the reality is that they're actually making that part of the world a much more dangerous place.
In terms of what's been going on in that area, in terms of the tribal areas of Pakistan, I mean, what do you understand has been happening in terms of these drone attacks? I mean, how do they target people?
Well, I mean, they've got various ways of doing it. You know, sometimes they use it from the camera of the drone itself. It's able to actually zoom quite far, and they believe they can pick up individuals through that way. But then also sometimes they claim, at least anyway, that they have intelligence on the ground. So they have an individual who is working for them who will go into an area. They will...
A spy, basically.
Yeah, effectively a spy. They will release some kind of signal and will alert the drone to the target. So, I mean, these are the methods and means they've got. But the problem is that those of us who have some knowledge of the various cultural differences that there are within the northern regions of Pakistan can tell you straight away that things are not as simple or as easy as good guy, bad guy, Taliban or not Taliban. There are so many kind of tribal and cultural differences that sometimes people use that to their own advantage in order to get rid of, say, political opponents or whatever else.
So they give the Americans duff information, basically, to help themselves.
Exactly. And so the Americans are playing an extremely dangerous game by being involved in this way. And, you know, we've already seen that the Americans can have the wool pulled over their eyes quite easily, you know, especially when they start having conversations with, you know, stallholders about whether or not the Taliban are able to negotiate with them. So, I mean, you know, the reality is that they don't know what's going on in these regions, and their policies are effectively making them look like bigger fools than they already are.
In a sense, Taji Mustafa, I mean, this is a CIA war. The CIA run this rather than the US military. I mean, that's rather odd, isn't it?
Well, because the rules for the CIA are much more loose. They're able to, the accountability is less, and where they can operate, they have a broader remit and a freer hand to prosecute this. I think we shouldn't lose sight of one fact, that these drones, which effectively are an attack on another country, a sovereign territory, killing its citizens, can only take place with the collusion and help of the government in Yemen, in the case of Yemen, or the government in Pakistan. Drones have to take off from a base. they have to be refueled, they have to be maintained. They don't all come across the border from Afghanistan. So really, each time I hear of a drone attack killing civilians in Pakistan, the Pakistani government, Kayani, Zardari, Jilani, these guys have blood on their hands because they directly are helping to murder the Muslims in Pakistan. And the fundamental job of any government is to protect its citizens. Islam is so strong on this issue. You know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, you know, the blood of a Muslim is worth more than the Kaaba, which Muslims, you know, we look to the Kaaba, we pray to the Kaaba, we pray facing it every day. So the job of a government is to defend its people, and these governments have blood on their hands. So really, until they are removed, this collusion continues, and this needs to be put an end to by frankly changing these governments and the systems that they represent, and having a government that will defend its people, that will listen only to look after its affairs of the people, care for them, and that would be, you know, an Islamic government, a caliphate, which is what is needed to put an end to this collusion, which is real treachery.
It's unusual for a government to tolerate a foreign government bombing its own country, isn't it? I mean, and as you said, that happens in the so-called theatre that the United States are in now, the Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan. I mean, in terms of that kind of global battlefield, the US says that, you know, the whole world now is a legitimate battlefield that they can strike because they're in a war on terror and this extends beyond boundaries. What do you make of that?
He who lives by the law of the jungle will have to face the consequences of the jungle. And that's really what the US is doing. If it decides, it has decided to be judge, jury, executioner, it says the war is a battlefield, well, there'll be people who will say, well, you come into my home, you kill my children, my family, I will retaliate. So it breeds that mentality. Human beings need laws. Nations need laws to interact and functions. You know, the Islamic State that people like myself, that Muslims envisage, will interact with other nations. You know, we'll trade, we'll etc. But if a nation in the world, as the US has done in its war of terror, decides to be a cowboy and, you know, go into countries and kill people, then really you will find that that provokes a certain retaliation. But I really want to stress, the US doesn't have the reach in the world today to fight people everywhere. 10 years in Afghanistan facing some mujahideen, where has it led to? So the governments in the Muslim world aid, they provide bases, they provide logistical support. The US knew nothing about Afghanistan until Musharraf, the dictator in Pakistan, said, come in, here's intelligence, overflight right for airplanes. So I think one is it's a jungle, and the law of the jungle, I think, is not a law the world should really want to live by. You need governments to behave responsibly, and the US and the UK have shown they're incapable of doing that.
I mean, Taji Mustafa's, you know, very good point there about, you know, obviously the government's colluding. I mean, Asim Qureshi, as a lawyer, what's the kind of legal position? Because obviously there are laws of war, however peculiar they may be on occasion. I mean, these seem to offer a new sort of tapestry of law, don't they?
Well, there's no new tapestry of law. There is the law or there isn't. And the reality is that extrajudicial killings are completely illegal under international law. And that's the point that we have to make. What the Americans are doing are extrajudicial killings because the Pakistani government have not officially invited the Americans to come and attack their country. They're not there at the invitation of the Pakistanis. They're not there at the invitation, definitely, of the Pakistani people. And so you've got Americans effectively conducting unlawful raids into Pakistan, killing individuals. This is the reality that we're facing, that effectively they're getting away with murder, quite literally.
So you think these are actually assassinations in
yes,
that sense?
Because, and they should be referred to that way as well. They are assassinations.
But assassination is illegal by an executive order in the United States, which President Ford brought in and President Reagan later ratified.
Well, Obama's changed that now. Now, because of the war on terror and their war of terror as well, they're able to attack anybody anywhere in the world.
Well, they've extended the definition of the battlefield, haven't they?
That's
I mean,
correct.
Technically, what does that mean from a lawyer's point of view?
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it means nothing. It just means that they're acting illegally everywhere in the world. But from their perspective, what they're claiming is that because the conflict is more abstract than, say, the Geneva Conventions envisaged, they're effectively able to conduct hostilities anywhere they like. So regardless of whether or not there is a traditional state-on-state conflict taking place, that they are able to go into a country and effectively take out targets that they feel they need to.
Do you think that robotics in general is changing the nature of warfare?
Yes. I mean, there's no doubt about the fact that You know, this is a new era that we're in terms of conflict. You know, before you have, you know, in the past you had total war, you had one side facing another, they'd fight each other out, and that would be the end of the matter. Then you have, you know, city battles taking place, trench warfare, you've got, you know, all these developments, insurgencies, you know, through the kind of anti-colonial liberation movements. So you've got these various developments in the way that conflict has been taking place, and I think this is just the latest development in that. But unfortunately, it's the most dangerous development as well.
Because
there is no human element involved. There is no morality to decision-making. A soldier, at the end of the day, who has been trained well, has been taught to give quarter. He's been taught to exercise restraint, to exercise mercy on the battlefield, because that's effectively how, at least in a conflict scenario, we're able to still be human beings to one another. And this is recognized within international humanitarian law. I mean, Deuteronomy talks about this, the Quran, the traditions of the Prophet talk about it. You know, we've known examples throughout the whole of history where international humanitarian law is applied and people respect one another as combatants. But when you have robots effectively doing the killing and somebody thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away who's effectively just pressing triggers and killing people off and dropping bombs on people's heads, you lose that element. And that's what's so dangerous about this, that there is an ethical element that is now being completely eroded through the use of these drones.
There isn't a lot of pressure, though, Taji Mustafa, for there to be some kind of ethical control over this. I mean, I spoke earlier about mustard gas and chemical weapons, which were used during the First World War. Well, international conventions soon outlawed those. I mean, do you think that should be the case for sort of drone attacks? But if that's true, there isn't a lot of public outrage yet.
There isn't public outrage because the US has created a narrative that it, the US, the UK government, is fighting the bad guys. And really, it's whatever it takes. And so, you know, when Obama talks about it's better we fight them there than then come fight us here. So for the US and the British public, it's a case of, well, you're killing some people there and you know, so what? So what that really has done is that we're in a phase where public opinion in many cases supports this. There are people now supporting torture, for example. So I think the US is doing what it has always done as a colonial power, as a large power in the world. The onus is, what will others do? What will others, what will the government of Yemen do? And what we found through the WikiLeaks was that Ali Abdullah Saleh said to the Americans, you can use drones and kill my people, I would say that we did it. We found that the government of Pakistan said, you know, you can use drones, we will complain publicly, but, you know, Shamsi, Jacobabad, Pasni, these air bases, Americans use them. So the issue is the U.S. is acting as it does. Frankly, it's a rogue power today in the world, threatening people in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the issue is very clear. The question is the response. If there were other nations to check it, to actually be a counterforce, to say, if you attack my people, I will defend my people. These drones are able to be shut down. The Pakistani Air Force General, Raul Suleiman, said he's waiting for civilian authorities to shoot down the drones. So there is an ability to counter this emerging technology. But again, it comes down to the governance, and the governance being sincere to its people. And, you know, the uprising in the Arab world, if they've taught us one thing, it is that people want governments that look after them. And in the Muslim world today, who looks after the Muslims? It has to be a government, you know, that rules by Islam, which will care about them. And that's an obligation for Muslims to wake up to arrest the situation.
Well, I mean, there's a more dangerous element to it. And that is that, I mean, effectively, when you say and make through your actions a very clear statement that human life is worth nothing and that international humanitarian law doesn't mean anything, then the people that you choose to fight will take their cue from that. And I think one of the things that's probably most indicative of this is the most recent video that's been released of Anwar al-Awlaki, who we now know but has been assassinated by the United States through the use of a drone, ironically. And what's interesting and scary at the same time about that video is that Awlaki finishes it by saying that, you know, it's incumbent upon especially those in America to either take the fight to Americans on their own land because of everything that America is doing everywhere else in the world, and because they're not respecting any rules, they're not playing, they're not effective, not playing fair, or they should leave the country and go and join, you know, the battlefield elsewhere. But he's effectively saying that you've got one of these two options. So even from his grave, you know, he's speaking and he's saying those same things. And here's a man who, when he was living in the States, didn't take those positions at all. You know, they alienate him, they torture him, they abuse him in Yemen, and he starts taking a completely different stance in terms of the response. So the Americans need to realize that everything that they do is having a negative impact. Not only is it turning people away from effectively trying to, you know, engage with them, but what it's doing is breeding a whole new different type of type of resentment. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that slowly taking place.
Well, I mean, we know one thing, that robots obviously can't win hearts and minds. Do you think that the use of drones is a kind of a sign that the United States have given up in that sense, that they want to simply manage their security policy, you know, from bases in Arizona and Illinois and sort of fight and maintain global military power through those mechanisms?
Well, they've learned from their mistakes in Vietnam and the first, shall we say, 7 years of the war on terror, that when troops start dying, public sentiment turns sour. And so they've constructed a scenario now where nobody needs to die. No troops need to die anymore. And so how can public sentiment turn sour when people aren't campaigning against their own citizens?
But also, they can never win the hearts and minds of people, you know, which they claim they want to when they invade a country in Iraq. They say, well, we can make these people support America. But how can they do that if they're simply firing bombs?
Yes. No, that's
I mean, do you see this as a disturbing change? Or, I mean,
It's a consistent change that, you know, the U.S. As a capitalist nation has its eye on the Muslim world. We have great resources, strategic locations, and it's simply evolving, you know, what will be new tools and instrument by which to dominate that space. Drones also chime in with the current age. It's the age of cuts. You know, America has economic problems, the Eurozone crisis. Drones are cheaper than conventional aircraft. They're cheaper than training pilots. And as Asim just said, they're cheaper than sending a pilot down who could be shot down. So it is a new development. But what would arrest this development? You know, is every new tool of warfare, should every new tool be deployed? This is a question.
Well, is it immoral to use drones? And quite apart from your view of American foreign policy in general, is it immoral to actually?
There's no society. It's immoral. There's no society that believes in this concept of judge, jury, executioner. From 1,000 feet up, somebody in the deserts of Nevada somewhere decides to take out a house. Now, the Americans use words like neutralize. It's an assassination. It's the killing of a man who has wives, who has children. Children have been caught up in these zones. Some of the pictures from Pakistan are really terrible. Now, I think, you know, you tell me those people are going to love you, love America. But I think now people are waking up that it's not only America, it's their government, because people are saying, after the attack on the NATO forces, on the Pakistan forces by NATO soldiers, 20-plus killed, why is it that America still, till today, has overflight right of Pakistan? Mm. So people are saying drones can attack us in our homes, their planes can overfly our territory. Actually, the problem isn't the Americans, frankly. They will do what they want to do. The problem is you, is these governments, which need to be removed.
But, I mean, just finally, just coming to the end quickly, I mean, do you believe, though, that this sort of, you know, that it's almost like a computer game mentality that's coming in? And is that the real problem in?
It's not only that. I mean, there is that with the operator. Yes. But those who give the orders, those who decide to use this, they can't win the hearts and minds in the Muslim world. And they have decided to use this new tool, which in the long run has to be countered. And that will be by having a sincere government that will deploy its forces to shoot down drones to defend its nation. And that's what Muslims should work for, the caliphate, the Islamic, you know, type of government to rescue them from this situation.
Asim Qureshi, just finally then, do you think it is a kind of computer game mentality?
Well, I mean, Philip Alston, who's the UN Special Rapporteur on extrajudicial killings, said he was worried about a PlayStation mentality developing. And so when the drone operators end up using terms like bug splat, you know, in terms of these killings, it gives you the kind of feeling that that's all it is to them. They're like splatting these bugs, almost like they're playing some kind of computer game. And that's truly worrying.
We can end their horrible thought, but I'm afraid we're coming to a short break. So it's a big thank you to our guests here.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.